Bibles, turn to the Gospel of Matthew, Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7, I'll be reading verses 1 through 6. And out of reverence to God, please stand as His Word is read. Matthew chapter 7, beginning in verse 1. Do not judge so that you won't be judged, for you will be judged by the same standard by which you judge others, and you will be measured by the same measure you use. Why do you look at the splinter in your brother's eye, but don't notice the beam of wood in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, let me take the splinter out of your eye, and look, there's a beam of wood in your own eye? Hypocrite, first take the beam of wood out of your eye, and then you will see clearly to take the splinter out of your brother's eye. Don't give what is holy to dogs, or toss your pearls before pigs, or they will trample them under their feet, turn, and tear you to pieces. You may be seated. Wednesday night, we were looking at the verses at the end of chapter 6, and we were looking at what Scripture says about worry. And it tells us, don't do it. Don't worry. Because worrying cannot change anything. You can't make your life any longer. Worry doesn't give you what you say you need. And too often, we worry about things that don't even exist. Like sitting in here, worrying what you're going to do because you left your umbrella in the car. And if it rains on the way out, you might get wet. We don't know if it's going to rain. Weather forecast says there's a chance, but there's more of a chance it's not going to rain. We worry about a lot of things, and we're not to. And our passage started in verse 25 and said, therefore. And remember, anytime you see therefore in the Scripture, see what it's there for. It's talking about the attitudes we need to have as a Christian. Talking about God providing for every one of our needs. Talking about how we have treasure stored up in heaven and not on earth. Talking about how we should pray. And if we understand God is the source of everything and that He will give us what we need, what do we need to worry about? Is not worry saying that we doubt God can do what He says He can do? God tells us that He knows what we need. Give us our daily bread, because we know it comes from God, not from our own efforts. Do not worry. Worry, I mentioned on Wednesday, can cloud your whole life. Now, if you take the amount of water in this bottle, you can spread it out into a fog and cripple 7 city blocks 100 feet deep just with the amount of water that's in this bottle. A fog cloud that big doesn't take much water. Worry can cloud our lives where we don't see things clearly, just like a fog cloud can keep us from seeing things physically. Well, God tells us not to worry. Don't worry about what you're going to eat. Don't worry about what you're going to drink. Don't worry about what you're going to wear. And then Jesus gives some examples. He said, think about the birds. They don't worry about what they eat. They go about and they pick up the food that's out there and they get fed. Don't worry about what you're going to wear. Think about the flowers, Jesus said. The richest man, the wisest man that ever lived, Solomon, was not dressed in his finest clothes as the wildflowers along the road. Don't worry, because life is more important than food. But, he tells us in verse 33, seek first the kingdom of God and his, meaning God's righteousness. And all these things will be provided for you. Therefore, don't worry about tomorrow, because tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. So don't worry. There's going to be trouble tomorrow. There's going to be trouble today. So don't add to today's trouble by worrying about what might happen tomorrow. God's going to give you the answer, the way, the power, the resource to deal with whatever happens today. If it rains, he's going to be able to deal with you getting a little freckled with the raindrops. If it doesn't rain, he's able to take care of the grass and the trees. And so Jesus has been talking about a difference in our attitude, our focus. What should our focus be? In the beginning of chapter 5, we looked at the Beatitudes. Attitudes we need to have a true relationship with God. But also, he's been showing how there's been a false relationship. Throughout chapter 5 and 6 and now into 7, he's talking about hypocrites. Now remember, hypocrites, the Greek word there means a mask wearer. Somebody that puts on a face. The Pharisees are those that he typically talks about as hypocrites. They love to pray to be seen by people, not to be heard by God. They love to give their offerings where people can see them, not where God recognizes the heart. Jesus says in Matthew 7, verse 1, do not judge or that so that you won't be judged. Well, let's look at what it's talking about here. Now, it's not talking about just evaluating things. Because we're told in 1 Corinthians 2:15, Philippians 3:2, 1 John 4:1, 2 John 10 and 11, to judge the teachers, to be sure they're speaking the truth. If they're not speaking of the truth, don't listen to them. And in Galatians, Paul said, even if an angel comes and speaks a different gospel, don't listen to him. We're to judge what the truth is. But the judging he's talking about here is setting ourselves up in a self-righteous position. I'm so much better than somebody else. That's the judging it's looking at. Looking unfavorably on the character or actions of others. It leads to a rash, unloving, and unjust judgment of others. We don't know why they're doing what they're doing. We don't know what happened before. We don't know all the events, but we try to judge the motives because we want to make ourselves look better. Jesus, back in Matthew 5, tells us the attitude we need to have, chapter 5, verse 3. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Realizing there's nothing good within us. Verse 4. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Mourning over our sin. Blessed are the humble, for they will inherit the earth. If you are humble, it's sort of hard to be judging and self-righteous over someone else. We need to recognize that we have been forgiven so much. But too often, we want mercy from God for ourselves, but judgment on others. Send the fires of hell to them, and send the bread of mercy to me. The Pharisees were like that. Look at the Gospel of Luke, chapter 18. Luke chapter 18, and beginning in verse 11. Remember, in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus is trying to show us a new attitude we should have. And let's look at Luke 18. Let's begin in verse 9. He also told this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and looked down on everyone else. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee was standing and praying like this about himself. God, I thank you that I'm not like other people, greedy, unrighteous, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give a tenth of everything I get. But the tax collector, standing far off, would not even raise his eyes to heaven, but kept striking his chest and saying, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. I tell you that this one went down to his house justified rather than the other, because everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, but the one who humbles himself will be exalted. In the parable Jesus gave, the Pharisee was self-righteous. He was judging the tax collector. But the tax collector recognized that he was a sinner needing God's mercy. The Pharisee thought he was, as the old phrase goes, the cat's meow. He was the one that was right at the top of everything. But he was not justified before God. He had no mercy. He felt superior to the other. In Proverbs chapter 10, verse 12, it tells us to overlook the wrongs that others do. It tells us in Proverbs 19, 11, to be patient and overlook an offense. When we're judging others, we are placing ourselves in God's position. God is the one who judges. God is the one that knows our hearts. We are not to judge others by our standard. Now look at the second verse of Matthew 7. For you will be judged by the same standard by which you judge others, and you will be measured by the same measure you use. What measure do we want God to judge us by? What measure do we want other people to judge us by? Do we want to be judged by God's measure, by God's standard, or by people? We can always find someone else that is worse than what we view ourselves. But as it tells us in Scripture, if we've broken one of God's commandments, we're guilty of breaking them all. We're also told in James chapter 2, let's look there, about judgment and mercy. James chapter 2 and verse 12. Speak and act as those who are to be judged by the law of freedom. For judgment is without mercy to the one who has not shown mercy. Mercy triumphs over judgment. Do we want to be judged by God without mercy? Or do we want to be judged by God with mercy? If we are judging other people without mercy, we're telling God, judge me without mercy too. Because Jesus said, by the same measure you measure, by the same judgment you judge is how you'll be judged. And then Jesus gives an example. Says you look around, you see your brother that has a little speck of dust, a little splinter in his eye. Says, let me help you get that out. But all the time, you got a big 2x4 in yours. Let me help you get that splinter out. If you went to the doctor, he said, let me help you there. I'm going to help you get better. Let me give you a shot. And you're dodging, waiting that big beam coming out. And now this is not as big as the word Jesus used. The word that Jesus used is like a rafter or a floor joist. The big, heavy piece of metal or wood that holds a building or a roof up. Said, hey, you got a little speck in your eye. Now, that person does have a speck in their eye. But do you want someone removing the speck when they got a building beam in their eye? She said, no, get that beam out of your eye first. And then you can help your brother get the speck out of his eye. Notice, it doesn't say what a lot of people try to say, Matthew 7, 1 says. Do not judge is how most people want it to end. But it doesn't end there. It said, do not judge in Matthew 7, 1. In Matthew 7, 5 said, first take the speck or beam out of your eye, and then you can help your brother with the speck. It's an order. Get your life examined correctly first, and then help others. We are to help others get the speck out of their eye. But we have to examine ourselves to see if what's glaringly obvious in our own lives is removed first. It says, hypocrite. Remember, that's the same word in verse 5 that Jesus has been using for the Pharisees. Turn with me again to the letter from James. James chapter 1. James gives an example that can help us remember what we should do. James chapter 1 and verse 22. But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. Because if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like someone looking at his own face in a mirror. For he looks at himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of person he was. But the one who looks intently into the perfect law of freedom and perceives in it and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer who works, this person will be blessed in what he does. So it tells us, you go to a mirror. You see a blemish. Or you see your hair standing up like one of those Cupid dolls. Sometimes the less hair you got, the more it stands up like a Cupid doll hair. Or maybe it's blown this way and that. Or maybe you didn't put on your makeup right. Or maybe there's a big splash of mud or grease across your face. You look in the mirror, oh, wow, I got grease across my forehead. And you walk off, forget. And everybody can see that grease on your forehead. But you forgot. But it says the one that looks intently into the word of God will be like the one that looks intently into that mirror and doesn't forget. God's word should judge us. And it should be the standard by which we judge others. We are then called not to give what is holy to the dogs or toss our pearls before swine. In Matthew 18, verse 58, Jesus said he couldn't do many miracles in a certain place because they wouldn't listen to the truth. And that's what he's talking about here in verse 6. Giving what is holy and sacred is the offerings that are offered to God that are on the altar that's only to be burned up and given to God, or the priest can eat a certain portion of it. Taking what is meant and set apart for God and throwing it to the dogs. Now, it's not like the dogs that we have here. Dogs were not kept as pets in Israel. They were used, if they were used to helpful as herding sheep, but the rest of them were just like wild packs of dogs. You've seen wild packs of dogs, heard of them running around. You might have seen them running through the woods, especially here. Every now and then we see a pack of dogs running. Or might be like what you think of a coyote. Don't take and give what is dedicated to God to something that is like a coyote. And don't cast your pearls before swine. Now, pigs were not eaten by Jewish people. They were like these wild boars you get around. And they're pretty good at softening up the soil. Every now and then they come at the back of the church. Now, I can never get them to root around those hard spots that you want the soil turned up. You know, they always want to go to the part that you finally got the grass growing on. Well, those wild boars, the wild hogs, what they ate, the little seeds, the type of pearl it's talking about, looks like that type of seed they eat. So here comes that wild hog. You throw out some of these pearls. Oh, hog says, okay, food. And he finds out it's not food. And it says, they'll turn on you, trample you, and tear you to pieces. The word tear you to pieces describes the type of wound a wild boar's tusk will inflict on a person. It's not a nice little cut. It's a rip, a poke, and a tearing. What it's telling us here, there are people that will not listen to the truth. We don't know who they are until we first try talking to them. But if they're not going to put up with the truth, there are people other places that will listen to the truth. We need to take the message to those who will hear, and if they're not going to listen right now, they might listen later. We go on to someone else because God has people prepared to hear the truth. And sometimes that person that wouldn't hear, God can turn from a wild dog and a wild pig into someone willing to hear the truth. There are many people that need to hear the truth. When Jesus was speaking with the woman at the well in Samaria, he told his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few." And he said, "Look, here comes a harvest." And at that time, many people from Samaria were coming to the well because they'd heard the truth about the Messiah and they wanted to learn more. The Orthodox Jew didn't want to have anything to do with a Samaritan. Jesus gave the message of truth to everyone who would hear. We need to not block the message of truth by our judgment. We need to remember that we have been forgiven, that we are sinners saved by grace. We beg for God's mercy on Judgment Day. And when we do something wrong, we ask for God's forgiveness and mercy. Why do we withhold forgiveness and mercy to others we see? We don't know their heart. We don't know why they're doing what they're doing. We see part of the story, just a glimpse. Paul Harvey used to do a little radio segment, "The Rest of the Story," talking about things you didn't see behind the scenes and let you know there's more to the story than that. One I remember is about this butcher. This butcher had an unethical meat inspector. He had to be bribed. You had to give him a bottle of alcohol to get past. Well, the butcher said, "I'm not going to do it anymore." Ended up, they closed his shop. Looked around for another job. Found out he's pretty good selling clothes. He opened a store selling clothes. That butcher's name was J.C. Penney. He took a stand. When it didn't look right, if J.C. Penney hadn't took a stand on not bribing, you would have never heard about the butcher, J.C. Penney. even though the stores are not as plentiful as they used to be. They're sealed. JCPenney department stores all over the country because a man took a stand. We only see part of the story. Even if we're with somebody all the time, we still only see part. But God knows the heart. He knows why people do what they do. Let us not judge by our standards, but use God's standard of judgment. Let us remember we're forgiven, and let us show mercy, because we do not want to be judged without mercy. And we know the world needs more mercy, more grace, more of God's love. And let us go share that with others. I'll be standing here at the front at the end of the service if you have any questions. But stand with me for our closing prayer. Dear God, I thank you of your love for us. Thank you for judging us with mercy, with forgiveness. Let us apply that attitude to how we deal with others. Let us not judge others by our standards, but let us judge others by your standards. Let us show mercy to others. Let us show grace to others. Let us lead others to you. In Jesus' name, amen.